Good evening. My name is David Norris. I serve as the Minister for Pastoral Counseling and LGBTQ Belonging here at Broad Street Ministry, and it is my pleasure to be with you in this service of worship today. I don't know what Christmas is like for you. I don't know if this is a time of hope and traditions and feeling right at home, or if this is a day that makes you aware of the traditions and the gatherings and the way things were, or if this is a day that is full of an aching for a future that has not yet arrived. I'm not sure what it's like for any of us today. I'm not even sure what it's like for me some days. But here in this place, we gather so that we can hear stories and song and words of comfort and of inspiration. And so let us turn to God so that we can get to that task and leave some things behind. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, startle us with your truth, inspire us with your grace, transform us into the people that you have dreamed of us being since you knit us together in our mother's wombs, and send us out into the world through these words and through these sacraments, so that we may be and become your kingdom, your light, that you have set loose through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 6 years ago at Christmas, I was pretty weary. I was halfway through my first year of seminary, and I was, by all measures, to all people, a bit of a mess. I was finally out to myself as a gay man, and I was in the middle of the slow process of coming out to others. I had a few new friends at school, but I missed my outdoor buddies out in Oregon. I'd always been politically aware and engaged, but I had these new classmates and professors whose experiences with racism and systemic oppression swirled in my mind almost continuously. I had just returned from a month in Israel studying nonviolent attempts to create a two-state solution. I had gone through the checkpoints on the way to Bethlehem. I had seen the wall built by Israel. I carried within me the stories of Palestinian Christians and Muslims who faced unconscionable discrimination, along with the tears of grieving and traumatized Israelis who had lost families to terrorist attacks. The images of Yad Vashem's Children's Memorial haunted my dreams, and I was angry and frustrated at the world. I felt pretty helpless in the face of the power of human fear to extinguish the best of us. And I didn't have much hope in God, if I'm honest. And then one Sunday, when I was feeling pretty down around Christmas, I got a phone call from my neighbor in the dorms. It was a pretty brisk phone conversation. It went something like this: "Norris, this is Greenhow. I'm headed to that weird church everyone keeps telling us that you should go to in Philadelphia. Do you want a ride? I'm leaving in 2 minutes. An hour later, I was here. I was at Broad Street Ministry, and I walked into the sanctuary for the first time. And the moment that I saw the windmills and I saw the origami swallows flying in between them, I knew I was home. That Sunday, I heard a word of challenge and of comfort. I danced in praise during worship, something that, as a cradle Presbyterian, hadn't happened very much in my life, but it connected to a deep part of who I was that was coming alive. That worship service all those years ago, it was an invitation to lose myself in this place, to dig deep into God. It was an invitation to a different kind of faith, a different kind of hope. When I look back, I realize that it was a call to live in the midst of God's liberating work that takes place in the lives of people who, in America's distortion of Christianity, are often the last people that we imagine God would be involved with. Artists and activists, the housing insecure and those experiencing homelessness, the queer community and skeptics all together. The story of Jesus' birth is full of God getting involved in the lives of the last people anyone would expect. Mary is a young, pregnant teenager about to be dismissed quietly to save her from shame. She's the last person you would expect Joseph to get mixed up with. Except God's in the business of being on the side of the least and the last, the lonely and the lost. And Mary's in a difficult place in a way I think very few of us can fully understand today. Her pregnancy is much more than an interruption of her and Joseph's plans. It's an actual death sentence. She will be cast out, quietly because of Joseph's discretion, but cast out nonetheless, into a world with few options for her and the child's survival. Her family can take her and the child in if they would like, but we do not hear in the story of them being in a position to be able to do so. Plus, Mary's living in the midst of what can kindly be called a political dumpster fire. The people of Israel are caught as pawns in a geopolitical crisis. As the personal power struggle between Mark Antony and the Emperor Augustus is winding down, Herod has emerged as a favorite of the Roman Senate, and he's crowned King of the Jews. But it took the siege of Jerusalem and the downfall of the Hasmonean dynasty for him to come towards anything resembling power. Now he's firmly established as Rome's puppet king. He's fabulously wealthy through oppressive taxation, but the people he represents are struggling. He's known to be a bit, shall we say, unhinged, taking to slaughtering those who slight him while trying to win the love of the people that he terrifies. He builds lavish palaces. He likes to build up the temple complex so that he can increase his fame. He creates entire new cities where there were none. He creates ports where there was only open water. All bids for the affection of his subjects. But his lavishness, his narcissism, and his disregard for the faith and customs of the people has created a powder keg that is waiting to explode. And Mary is in the midst of this storm. Her and her fiancé, Joseph, they're just trying to do the best they can with what they've got. And it's got to be disappointing for Joseph that now Mary is pregnant and he'll have to let her go. But by this point in his life and at this point in Israel's history, he's pretty used to watching things fall apart. This year, I find myself astonished by the faith of Joseph. Amidst all of the fear and intrigue, amidst the violence against innocent children, when he becomes a refugee in a foreign land, Joseph stays faithful. And he keeps listening to the angels of God as they interrupt his plans again and again and again. Joseph stays by Mary's side, by Jesus' side, when it makes all the sense in the world for him to abandon them. Over and over again in this story, God shows up to interrupt and change the plan, disrupting the powers of oppression and empire, keeping hope alive in the most dire of circumstances. While everything is falling apart around Mary and Joseph, God interrupts their terror and their resigned disappointment and calls them into new grace-filled relationships. God calls them both into bringing about the kingdom of God in our world. Tonight, more than ever, I need the faith of Joseph. As we gather tonight, I wonder how many of us are hoping for God to interrupt our resigned disappointment. I wonder who here is awaiting an invitation to partner with Christ to labor for God's kingdom in the world. I need the hope that Joseph found to make hard choices, to risk it all. And I imagine I'm not alone in that. I need the faith of Joseph this year because all around me I see darkness. I see a storm. I see the chaos breaking in like I haven't seen before. I need the faith of Joseph, who, instead of just walking away from Mary, listened to the voice that said, "Stay with her, for I am about to do a new thing in the world through this child." It's hard for me to find that faith right now. This place, this community, this church has been my anchor for so long. When the world's hurt and pain was too much, I found this community. And I learned how to get involved in what God was up to here. I dug in and invested in this place. Among the most vulnerable citizens of Philadelphia, I found God at work making a way out of no way. I saw the goodness of people who, like Joseph, heard God's call, not to quietly dismiss those experiencing housing insecurity and homelessness, but to invite them into a place with lavish welcome, to cast out our resigned indifference and create new grace-filled relationships. I have served as a pastor here at Broad Street Ministry for 3 years. We've baptized our babies and we've mourned our dead. We've celebrated our breakthroughs and accomplishments, and we've put ourselves back together after our failures and disagreements. I've spent countless hours over coffee and scones, sometimes beers and french fries, hearing of God's faithfulness and interruptions in your lives, the way God has told you that you should not be afraid of being queer, the way Jesus has led you through your transition. I've heard the stories of the partner who has stuck by you when it was so hard, and I've listened to your testimonies of God's warning for you not to return to those who have hurt you. We've visited and prayed with the sick and the lonely. We've supported each other in our recoveries from addiction, and we've sat in silence, listening for God's voice among us. We've discerned what comes next for you, grad school or volunteering abroad, changing jobs or changing coasts. We've volunteered to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and we've welcomed everyone we've met with the same hospitality that Christ greets us with week after week at this table. And so I had a plan for how we would be in relationship just a little while longer, you and I, except it got interrupted a few weeks ago when my grant was not renewed for 2017, and now my last Sunday as your pastor will be next week. Right when I want to be with you all the most, I'm being thrust into a job search. I wanted to serve as the Minister for Pastoral Counseling and LGBTQ Belonging through August because right now our political world looks a lot like a dumpster fire, and it looks like our world is filled with a lot of Herod wannabes. It seems like our elected officials, even some here in Pennsylvania, are buying into a story that leads them to stir suspicion and fear of our Latinx neighbors, our Muslim sisters and brothers, and to turn a blind eye to rising anti-Semitism and the rise of neo-Nazi and white nationalists in our midst. During these uncertain times, I had plans about how I wanted to be in relationship with you all and help be a leader against this. I want to be with you all now more than ever because, to me, this is a community full of a bunch of Marys. This is a church that is birthing the very presence of God into our world. You've taught me not to be resigned to disappointment. You've helped me be on the lookout for the holy interruptions of light and hope that come when Christ is with us. You've taught me how to have faith like Joseph. It doesn't come just from reading scripture, although that's a part of it. It doesn't just come from amazing worship services with outstanding music, although that does play a role. The faith of Joseph, the faith that you all live out, it comes from being among the Marys of the world. You have taught me how to be in respectful, interdependent relationships with people with very different experiences of privilege and power from myself. You've taught me how to bind myself to those who our society attempts to marginalize and silence, but who are filled with songs of revolution, who are overflowing with abundant life. You've convicted me to listen to the voice of God, calling me into relationship with other Marys, other communities of faith, therapy clients at homeless shelters who show me hope in the midst of backbreaking poverty and racism, trauma and uncertainty. You ruin me in the most blessed way possible. And I hope you know that you are the light of the world, that you are filled with the presence of Christ, and that nothing, no rulers or powers, no angels or demons, nothing that has been or is to come can separate you from the love of God you make manifest through Christ in this place and beyond its walls. And so, now that plans have changed, I'll be volunteering as part of my degree program with the kids here during worship as we face an uncertain future. We will be together for just a little while longer, in a different way, until I graduate or am called away to a new community. I won't be your pastor anymore, but God's made a way for us to be together for just a little bit longer. And while I search for where God is calling me next, I'm on the lookout for other Marys like you. I don't think there's another church that's quite like this one, but I have faith that God's got a plan. When all around us seems like swirling chaos, there's a plan, and I have hope that the light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So I'm still your pastor for just a little bit longer, so I have one last invitation for you. You all have taught me how to draw close to those who bear the light and image of Christ in our midst. And so now, as I leave, I invite you to be a community filled with the hope and daring of Joseph. Ask yourself, who is it in my life who is light in the darkness? Who do you know or have the opportunity to be friends with who is bringing about God's revolution? Maybe their very existence is an act of resistance in our world, or maybe they labor for justice. Who can you strengthen your bonds with, or be in community with, or organize with? Who can ignite within you a Joseph-like faith in the dark days ahead? Because we're going to need to be in relationship with the Marys of the world when soldiers curse and leaders clash and reason fails. In the back of the room at the round table towards the back, there are the stories of some of my friends and two communities who need our prayers and our support. They are Marys that you have taught me how to see by your example. And I think it's our time as a community to practice some Joseph-like faith, to reach beyond our walls. They're queer Latinos, an Egyptian-American Muslim music therapist. There's a mosque that's doing the hard, slow work of ministering to refugees while engaging in interfaith peace dialogue. And there's a group of Muslims who pray at our sister congregation, Arch Street Presbyterian Church. So after the sermon or during communion or the offering, please feel free to go back and write them a note or a prayer, some encouragement, so that this community can continue to be a beacon of hope and light in the darkness, showing that we do not have to be resigned to our disappointment. Let us all this Christmas day celebrate that in the person of Jesus Christ, we are all called into new, grace-filled relationships that bring about God's kingdom on earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.